Coming on like a freight train, and what a strange, strange weekend. People were horrified by the gunman in Los Angeles and the rampage through the airport Terminal 3 that ended up in the death of one TSA agent. And that's where we begin. Kate Delaney, happy as always to be hanging with you in all of your nooks and crannies. It was like a wild tsunami of what happened, how did this happen, where is everybody, and what's going on with the flights when 23-year-old Paul Anthony Ciancia, a kid who was in Los Angeles, apparently had lost his job, opened up with an assault rifle running through the airport going after TSA people. And others scattering and taking cover and running away as far as they could get from the popping sound that they heard that turned out to be gunfire. He was shot four times and is being guarded around the clock and is in a hospital right now. There's another teacher who was also hit when one of the TSA folks was hit, and they're or he's still in the hospital. And the question becomes, why, once again, he fits the profile, white male, loner, disillusioned, ranting about government, though, and saying stuff about New World Order, apparently, that's what they're saying, notes that they found. And so you can imagine the can of worms this certainly could open up. And then it creates now what is obvious to all of us, that the airports, you're not safe. It's wide open. It's wide open. I mean, if there's ever a place, and especially these bigger airports where somebody can get through, somebody out of their mind for whatever reason, it's an open spot. It's a public place. So they're trying to piece together what motivated this awful hatred specifically toward the TSA, and they have nothing in his background where he was stopped or searched or had problems or any of that kind of thing at this point. Now they're saying, too, once he's out charged with murder, he could get the death penalty, but first he has to recover because that hasn't happened yet at this point. They do know that he was a motorcycle mechanic. He moved to L.A. recently from a small town in New Jersey, and he had his roommate drop him off at the airport just moments before he pulled out the rifle from his duffel bag and opened fire. So he wounded three other people, including two more TSA workers. They don't think that the friend knew of Ciancia's plans at the airport when he dumped him off. They think he had no idea what was going on there. So now it's a question of interviewing people and figuring it out. Sadly, a 39-year-old Geraldo Hernandez is dead as a result. And the witnesses say it was a pretty chilling kind of death. In fact, he fired repeatedly at him. He went up an escalator, turned back to see him move, and returned to shoot him again. So he wanted to make sure that he was dead. He fired on two other TSA employees and an airline passenger. Then they were the people I mentioned that were wounded. And then he moved through the security checkpoints to the passenger gate areas before the police shot him as some of the panicked travelers hid in stores and restaurants and were stunned and had no idea, of course, what was going on. And they found the letter that I mentioned in his duffel bag, where he was rambling on about his constitutional rights were being violated by the TSA searches, and that he's a, quotes, pissed off patriot, upset former Department of Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano, and went on to say, black, white, yellow, brown, I don't discriminate. So things that they're trying to make sense of, if you can make sense of it. And when they searched the bag, besides finding that, he had 5 30 round magazines and hundreds more of rounds in boxes too, as well, but obviously had never gotten to those. But it certainly shows us how hard it is to protect travelers at all at any kind of a massive airport. It's so accessible. When I just was there a month ago, and absolutely it was easy for him to pierce that bubble. You have the big glass doors, you go in the long road that winds, well, basically the airport that winds around, and people are supposed to move quickly, like at the other big airports, and that's why, because thousands of people come, the doors open, and it's broad, so you can pass quickly. It's kind of like as it was described as an open shopping mall. So I guess, and what the TSA, the head of the TSA, John Pistoli, is saying, they're going to have to work with every airport's police agency to see how they're going to get the best security. See how they can help at the other airports. But, boy, it's frightening to think of this. The guy who was shot and killed had two kids and a wife. Certainly they weren't expecting that that was going to happen. The other guy who was wounded, one of them anyway, is a Calabasas high school teacher. He's in fair condition at the UCLA Medical Center. They say he's going to need surgery for a gunshot wound to his leg. And some of the other people who were injured avoided being shot, but they were injured in some other way by scrambling, trying to get loose, and hurting themselves as they moved away from the shots, the sound of the shots. All right, besides the buzz over that, the other big thing has to be still what's going to happen with Obamacare, because a lot of people now are waking up to the reality that the individual insurance is lost to so many. The estimate is 5 million. I think it could be higher than that when it's all said and done. So how the health care law affects you, in some cases people thought they weren't going to be affected, and now they're seeing that they are because of the shift in the coverage. And it's easier, the insurance companies say, to scrap it than to try to adjust it. Easier to do it that way. So you have a website, healthcare.gov, that's got problems with it. Then you have the problems of people who didn't think they were going to have cancellations that are getting canceled, that are upset over that, that don't want to be shopping around for coverage because they like their coverage, even though they're being told it's a cut rate plan and it won't help them in the event of something serious, some kind of serious illness or an accident. So how about that? All right, thanks to Matt Johnson for his work on the technicals, all of you for listening to America Tonight. But don't go away. We're only halfway through this hour, so kick back, relax, and we're booting to the other side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play around. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter. In other words,
so we know the premiere of Duck Dynasty this season. You had 16 million plus viewers tuning in to watch. And Halloween, it was all about Duck Dynasty. Everywhere I looked, I saw people in camouflage and with beards. I mean, I'm telling you, hands down, I think the Duck Dynasty thing has exploded even bigger. It just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger. There's no doubt reality television is huge and here to stay. And some of the shows are really good. Some of them you could question, but they're popular. It's, you know, what makes a television show popular? It's the magic. It's the secret. It's the, what's the secret sauce in all of the, what goes on behind it and what shows are actually chosen. So in our virtual green room, happy to have TJ Mercer, reality television coach, is the author of So You Want to Be on a Reality Show? Insider tips to make the cut. She's got a massive resume. We're talking about, TJ has a massive resume from all over the place. Whether we're talking about MTV, VH1, Bravo, NBC, ABC, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I could go on and on and on. And I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how many people tell me they have a great idea for a reality television show, but I don't know if they would actually make the cut. Hey, TJ, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Kate, I'm so excited. And I'm like, is she talking about me? Okay, she's talking about me. How's it going?
It's awesome. It's like you heard me say about Duck Dynasty. Now, if you got
Isn't
pitched that show... Kate?
It's crazy how that happened.
Would you have thought that would have exploded the way it did?
You know, I'm totally surprised. Those guys are making like $40,000 per public appearance.
I know.
$40,000 per public appearance.
Wow.
And, you know, the thing is, you know, in your setup, you know, what is the fascination with these kind of things? And you know what? It boils down to their subcultures that we have a fascination with. We want to know about these little niche subcultures that we're not normally exposed to on a daily basis. So you think about Honey Boo Boo and the Duck Dynasty and the Swamp People. And then, you know, I think TLC had the Little People Big World. We're just fascinated.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it a hit.
Yeah, so do you get pitched all the time? Do people tell you, I know somebody, they have this idea, blah, blah, blah? Do you hear that all the time?
Okay, I actually do hear that all the time, and I kid you not, literally right before the interview, I actually was rushing home from a meeting with one of my clients who is having a meeting at the network tomorrow for his concept, and we get it all the time, and here are the three things that I ask anyone that I coach with when they tell me, you know, I've got this great idea, or everybody tells me I should have my own show, and I ask them, okay, that's great, but what will make the show sellable to the network, what makes it marketable to the advertisers, and what makes it teasable to the audience?
Sellable, marketable, and teasable.
Sellable, marketable, and teasable. Because what will keep me glued in? What will keep me glued in from not only week to week, but what keeps me glued in through the commercial breaks? We're an instantaneous generation, so our attention spans are like gnats, you know? So I've got to have something engaging to keep you glued even through the commercials.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. Absolutely. Did you think, you know, how did you smash into this? What got you? I mean, obviously you had a massive background in network television across the board in a lot of different forms, you know, as a TV editor, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
How did you become a reality coach? How did you start doing all of this?
You know, it's funny. I have to share a secret with the audience. I actually hate writing, and I wrote a book last year. My first book, didn't want to write it, wrote it in a week, and it went on to win 3 Beverly Hills Book Awards and has been downloaded, you know, it's now on 6 continents. But, you know, that doesn't make a lot of money. You know what I'm saying? It's like you have to have a whole different thing. And so I woke up Easter morning and decided that, okay, I'm going to write another book today, and it's going to be about reality shows. And it just kind of took off from there. And I have worked in every single genre of reality TV. And between my expertise and my friends who have, you know, are casting directors for like The Voice and America's Got Talent and Idol, and I want to make that also the differentiation, because when people hear the term reality TV, they think of The Notorious. Like, we've been talking about the Duck Dynasty. We've been talking about Swamp People. But the fact of the matter is reality TV includes your HGTV shows. It includes the show that I'm actually going to start editing on Monday called My Cat from Hell. It's Animal Planet's number one show. And so it all involves casting. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to tap into my knowledge and help people sometimes land on these shows. And it's just been great.
Yeah. What thing are you most proud of when you look at reality or a direction you steered someone in? There's got to be one thing, at least recently, that stands out in your mind. What's your one, yeah, that's my moment, I did that or I helped them? What's the biggest moment for you?
Oh, that's a great question. I've never thought of that. Let me think. You know, it's when I actually get to see the shows and watch the social media feed ablaze. And I'm going, they're talking about my scene, you know, they're talking about my scene. Or it's like even meeting with my client tonight who is so excited that he's one step closer to, you know, getting his show on network, or my client who is in the top 5 running for a Food Network show. So it's just kind of one of those things. I like to see other people happy. I like to see, hear the excitement in their voice. So what just feeds my happiness is hearing when I get the call like, oh my God, guess what? You know, so I love those moments. Yeah, I don't believe this. Are you sitting down? You know, so
I love that.
I love those moments.
And it's across the board. Like, food obviously is really big. HGTV is still really, really huge. I think there's room for a few more superstars with HGTV. What do you think?
I think so. I haven't watched the network closely because I kind of just been bogged down. But, you know, I always tell anybody, if you want to land on a reality show, there are thousands of hours of program that have to be filled. You can find your show. It doesn't matter if you start off on a little show. For instance, Snooki started off on a MTV's, you know, little-known shows before she hit Jersey Shore. So if
right.
you want to be on a reality show, whether or not you want to be, you know, a star or whether or not you just want to have your kitchen done for free, there's a show for you, and that's what I teach my clients.
Wow. So cool. I love it. The, you know, when you're talking about what people have to do, and you said, you know, what's sellable, marketable,
teasable,
which is mm-hmm. so huge. The teasable thing, I agree with you, is so, so big. Do you think mm-hmm. we've just scratched the surface? Do you think reality television is going to explode even bigger?
No one believed it would be as big as it is now, you know. So, you know, it could go in so many directions, and we're just going to keep pushing the envelope because, again, we are an instantaneous generation with the attention span of a gnat. So it has to, you know, it has to evolve, and I'm excited to see what it involves, you know, evolves into. But I absolutely think that, you know, things will come through and surprise us. You know, not talking about reality, but scandal. You know, scandal has come through and there's, you know, scandal has blown away the rest of what's on television now. So I think,
yeah.
you know, with the creative people, we're just going to keep pushing the envelope and seeing what's out there.
Yeah, I agree. I love Kerry Washington. Love the clothes. Love the show. Absolutely.
So we're going to have a whole nother segment, just an hour of us talking about how great Scandal is.
No kidding, man. There is. I totally agree with you. All right, so if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
They can actually visit my website at www.icmeontv.com. Again, it's www.icmeontv.com. And there you can get the book, which has over 100 casting tips of how to increase your odds of making the cut. And these things come from me as well as secrets that I couldn't even name some of the people who have helped me on the book because they were giving me such juicy insider information that you're not going to find anywhere else.
Yeah, I love it. TJ, thanks so much. TJ Mercer, terrific stuff. You have such high energy. I love it. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. And please wrap yourself in a hug for me and give yourself a big squeeze.
I will. I love it, girlfriend. Keep doing what you do. We'll talk to you again sometime.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Man, she brought up the, you know, that Scandal show. She's right. It's incredible. That's the buzz in the backyard. If someone's watching television, the one show that they talk about, and what's happened in Scandal is so similar to what's happening in Washington, D.C. and other areas. I think that's probably why, because it's art mimicking life and life mimicking art. I don't know. All right, speaking of D.C., what's happening, the latest, we're going to go there next on ATN.
My name is Josh. One World Way is the best in the market, hands down. I'm in the U.S. Navy, and I live a very active lifestyle. Being a vegetarian, it's hard getting all the protein I need. I tried their vegan protein powders, and I just wasn't feeling any change. The meathead supplement store whey protein kind of worked for a bit, but it left me feeling bloated, and my digestion seemed to slow down. By some divine stroke of luck, I heard a commercial of One World Way on the radio, and it struck my interest. I have to tell you, I am so glad I got it. I have been taking it for a week, and the results are amazing. I don't feel tired when I have to get up at 4:30 a.m. I look and feel better. I recover faster from my 2 workouts a day. When I don't have time to eat good food, I take it, and I don't feel the urge to stuff my face for hours. I got up this morning, and I looked the leanest I've looked since high school. I can go on and on. The best I can do to repay you is buy more and tell my friends.
Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
My name is Frank Bates, and I got a confession to make. Just a few days ago, FEMA went directly to my supplier and tried to buy my entire stockpile of high-quality survival food. It sounds crazy, but I'll show you the exact letter they sent in a minute. Revealing FEMA's plot could land me in hot water, but I think you deserve to know exactly what they're doing. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see undeniable video proof that the government is on the hunt for as much survival food as they can grab in 24 hours. Be warned, it's really disturbing because the fact is FEMA must know something we don't. Go to FEMAHatesThis.com to see why survival food is the number one item to hoard right now and why supplies are so low or even completely sold out already at many stores across America. Do it now because I don't know how long it will be online, so go to FEMAHatesThis.com while you can. That's FEMAHatesThis.com.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
Everybody knows what a big fan I am of Halloween, and here we are once again, my favorite time of the year. I'm not even going to tell you what my costume is at this point. So happy to welcome back to the show. He's in our virtual scary green room, Jack Heath. He's got another book out, Chain of Souls. Do you love that name, Chain of Souls? He's going to tell us all about it. Remember we talked before about witches, his family history. It was really, really good stuff. So, Jack, always fun to have you on the show. Don't be a stranger. We're happy to have you back again. How you been?
Hey, good, thanks. I hope you've been well.
I have been well. And is it true? You sent me a note about this, that the film rights for your book has been bought and they're starting to work on a movie on the first book. Is that right?
Yeah, it's pretty cool and trying to get my arms or my mind around it. But yeah, Michael DeRocher of Wonderland Pictures, he was working on the film in Boston when the sad Boston Marathon bombing happened. They were doing a movie up there with Bradley Cooper and Christian Bale on the banking scandals of the, 20, 30 years ago, and they had to move, and they moved to Salem, Mass, of all places, to finish the filming. And somehow one of his location guys' mother had read my first book, Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, and told him about it, and he read it and called me down to the set, and I talked to him, and he made an offer to the publisher to buy the film rights, so he's begun pre-production work on a movie for the book.
I love it. That is very, very, very exciting. Got to keep us abreast of what happens there. So now you go into the second one, Chain of Souls. And, first of all, what was it, you know, we talked about this before that you said there, you had a lot in you that you were, there was more writing that was going to come. How long did it take you to put together Chain of Souls?
Chain of Souls came together. I was able to write it faster. The first book, Kate, when I was out with you, I was kind of my upbringing, a lot of years of being, knowing I was a descendant of both sides of the Salem witch trials. So a lot of my adult life thinking about it, and I just wrote it without an outline, without much overview, because I had no publishing deal. And my sister read it, who's she's the poet laureate of South Carolina and a novelist and a writer, and she sent it off to some people in New York. So the first one got published in a sort of a backwards way. The second one, they put me under the old outline discipline. So I was able to write the second one in about 3.5 months.
Wow, 3.5 months. So give us an overview of what we can expect with Chain of Souls.
Well, John Andrews is a central character, in the first book, he finds out that he's caught between the bloodlines of the Salem witch trials from 321, you know, more than three centuries ago in modern-day Salem. So he's trying to figure out what's going on, and his wife in the first book is killed in a car accident doing an errand for him by a Putnam, which was one of his relatives in the book, as the accuser of the witch trials, and he doesn't really know what he's in the middle of. So the first book is the premise that the witch trials are not what we think they are, and there's a secret satanic coven at work in Salem, kind of after his good spirit from Rebecca Nurse, his ancestor, who was the last woman hanged as a Salem witch in 1692. The second book, Chain of Souls, continues. He kind of survives. He still doesn't know what's happening. His life's been turned upside down. John Andrews and his daughter is kidnapped early on in the book by the group, trying to convert her to the dark side. So it's a battle with more of him, you know, good versus evil, trying to unravel what happened more than three centuries ago in Salem with the witch trials, and Rebecca Nurse kind of rising within him to liberate his daughter and kind of expose the whole thing. So it's a continuation of the same battle in the first book.
What do you think it is about, and we talked about this before, I think witches are making a comeback. You know, zombies are big, and if you watch television at all, or just you're watching sports, you look at all the promos, Grimm, Once Upon a Time, Dracula, we are into horror, and I think witches are really making a big comeback. Does it feel that way to you, that people are fascinated again? Not that they ever lost that, but I think there is now more of a fascination. It's come back around with the witches and the history and the Salem witch trials and all that. Do you think so?
Well, I don't know if I think so, but the analysts in the entertainment industry apparently think so. It could just be a big way to escape what's happening in Washington, D.C. But anyway, you know, it's kind of funny because I had no idea 3 or so years ago when I wrote the first book that the witch thing and the paranormal and the medium and the psychics would be kind of hot. And when I first met with Michael DeRocher and I'm kind of thanking him and getting to know him for buying the film rights, he says to me in a nice way, you know, it's not that he likes me that much or the book. He loves the book, but he said, Jack, my agent and our lawyers research this stuff for the next several years. And the next big thing in Hollywood are witches. So your book and the timing of it, he goes, so I guess I had no idea. I mean, you know, this timing in life, you don't know what you're doing at the time. But apparently the whole zombie, Walking Dead, werewolf, all this other stuff is witches and mediums and psychics are kind of the hot thing. And that's sort of what Salem, Massachusetts is all about.
Yeah, no kidding. So, you know, when you go into this whole publishing thing and publishers have the movie rights and sometimes you get the merchandising rights, did you keep the merchandising rights so you can design some little witches or whatnot?
Well, I was going to talk to Kate Delaney's agent and ask the agent if we could do that, but I'm not sure. I know that he bought the film, video, play, theater, all that stuff, the publisher.
Yeah.
It was really between them. And the beautiful thing, and Kate, you've been an author, and I read your book on sports and all that. The neat thing about this is it puts a lot of good exposure on the books. The books have done well, the first two. They've done well on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But when you make a movie on a book, and they're looking at some pretty high-level actors to be in the book, I mean the movie, mm-hmm. It's a blessing to, you know, kind of get the book out to a bigger audience. So, you know, the other stuff, I'm really more focused on trying to creatively not get in the way of the movie getting made, and then hopefully it puts a good spotlight on the books.
Do you in your mind have a fantasy of who would play some of the characters?
I do, and I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble tonight because you're on a lot of stations, but let's just say a little scoop. I'd say that I would be delighted, even though he's a St. Louis Cardinal fan from St. Louis, I think John Hamm would be a marvelous John Andrews from Mad Men. And, and by the way, the Red Sox are doing okay tonight. So I think he would be great. But, you know, the nice thing about the movie process, which I'm not directly involved in, is, you know, we have Superman and Batman and Iron Man and all these, like, computer animated superhero type movies. But this could be, and Michael DeRocher thinks this might be a movie that is kind of Rosemary's Baby meets National Treasure, where it's a New England-based and shot movie with real writing and real acting. And it might be kind of nice because it may be one of those movies that gets into the fray with good old New England drama. I don't know who will end up playing what part. That's not my area. But I'm just excited that they're underway, and he's already raised a chunk of his money to make the movie, and he's been involved in Hollywood for a lot of years, and he loves it. So we'll see. You know, so it's a process, Kate, as you know.
Yeah, what happens to the talk show when you become uber famous and, you know, like you're the counterpart for the woman who's 50 Shades of Gray?
No, you know, that's all scary talk. And if I can just, like, still be on Kate Delaney's show, America Tonight, and have you on my show, I'll be a happy guy.
Always.
It's funny. Michael's a great guy, and I've met some people in the process. And you reach a point where you realize a lot of this is out of your control. You got to do the work. You got to, you know, be there. But I'm not looking to buy a boat or a bigger house. I've met a lot of authors who are just struggling to get their books out. I'd love to be a help to some people and kind of be a catalyst to get them out there, do some good. I don't want for anything. I'm blessed beyond my worthiness, and it would be a fun process, and it would be nice to respect the history of Salem and Rebecca Nurse and do some good and maybe put a memorial up in Salem in her name. And, you know, it's just at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, you got a few friends and family, and if you do, you're fortunate.
Boy, isn't that the truth. Hey, somebody who likes to write, and I'm right there with you. I get it. I got all kinds of projects going on. And it's so exciting. It's fun. It's just that it's a passion about writing. Do you have a favorite book? The best book you ever read? Because I guarantee you're a voracious reader. Guarantee it.
You know what's funny, Kate? First of all, the answer to your question would be F. Scott Fitzgerald, The Great Gatsby. I read it young. I read it old. I just like it. I like Robert Ludlum, a lot of his books, before they were kind of movies. I'm a paranormal suspense, more crime guy. I like a lot of police type stories. Mm-hmm. My books are somewhat that because of my reporting years in the news business, but I'm not as much of a reader as I really like to write. I don't know what it is. Everyone thinks the hard part of a book is writing. To me, writing is not the hard part. Writing is the fun part where you can escape and you can go for hours in your basement or your den or your laptop or your, you know, wherever you are. You could be in a Starbucks writing. And I'm not a Starbucks fan, by the way. But the marketing and getting the book out there, that's the hard part. I mean, yeah. You know, that's the hard part. I think there's a lot of great writers out there, much better than me. I'm a storyteller. I mean, I came up with the whole film. It's my wife in the other room clapping because the Red Sox must be doing well. I grew up, you know, near in and around Salem. I knew my history with the witch trials. I just came up with an idea. I like telling stories and writing to that. So to me, writing is a lot more fun than I should probably read more, but I like to write.
That's a great answer. All right, so if somebody wants to pick up the books, I mean, I'm Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, New England. There's a lot of stores in New England, Barnes & Noble, physical stores, independent bookstores. Amazon's doing a special through tomorrow night at midnight with Goodreads on both books, Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, and Chain of Souls, and anything that Kate Delaney's ever written or will write is part of that.
Perfect. I love it. So fun to have you on. Jack Heath, continued success. A lot of fun. We'll talk to you again soon.
You're the best, Kate. Happy Halloween.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye. Run along the track. Get down.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Available only at hempusa.org. It's the first aid stick, and it's a must-have in any medical kit. With fast, chemical-free healing, the first aid stick stops bleeding, kills bacteria, is great for acne, insect bites, minor cuts and abrasions, will last for years, and is just $11.95. Everyone needs the first aid stick in their emergency kit. Call 888-910-4367. 888-910-4367. The first aid stick, only at hempusa.org.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Offset eye formation. Bolden is the tailback. Now Devlin abandons the back foot in motion right. Ready on the drop. Firing left. Looking to the end zone. Catch is made. Touchdown, Patriots. And what a play by Aaron Dobson.
Eye formation. Darrell Young and Alfred Morris behind RG3. No receivers. No wideouts in the game. Rick Sutton. Hand off to Darrell Young. Into the end zone.
In the slot, second down and goal. Romo's back looking right, pumps, runs out, throws it over the middle. Harris at the one, to the goal line, touchdown, Wayne Harris. Romo and Harris, they made it up together.
Hold, fake, he rolls, he looks, so long, fires,
touchdown, Riley Cooper, tying the Eagles' all-time record with his seventh touchdown pass of the game. There's the snap, there's the spot. The kick is up. The Seahawks win. They come back from 21 points down. The largest ever comeback for the Seahawks in a game to beat Tampa Bay on a final overtime field goal. 27-24. What a game.
Well, wait for the snap. Take it. That's a throw. Caught out there by T.Y. Touchdown. He's third of the night. And the Colts lead. The Colts lead 25-24.
Weeks will snap. Leckler with the hold. Bullock's kick is up. It's got the leg. And Bullock misses. Game is over. And the Texans lose for the the sixth straight time. 27-24. Houston goes down in defeat. A painful loss. Gary Kubiak in the hospital. His team up 21-3 as he's taken by ambulance. And the Texans in the second half cannot pull it through for him.
Yeah, that was rough. Kubiak goes down, and so does his team. That was the Sunday night game that ended up being pretty close. Indianapolis squeaks it out. All that's left is Monday, Chicago and Green Bay. And that was our game of the week, our nail the score game. So we'll see what side you were on, the Packers or Chicago. There were actually a few people that liked the Bears. We'll see what the final score is there. Maybe someone will nail the score, and then that'll wrap up the week. And we're into week 10. Matt, it was, I mean, I say this thing every single week, but there were a lot of crazy finishes. Philly just trouncing Oakland. Nick Foles with a big record on the road. Tampa Bay looked like they were going to finally pull off a win. Seattle, somehow they were getting pounded. They just started massing touchdowns and were able to cut through the defense. New England had no problems with Pittsburgh. A lot of people heading into this game thought that it would be much closer. In fact, some people even picking Pittsburgh, but in the end, certainly it was absolutely not close. Your crappy Vikings once again lose. What is up with Christian Ponder? He needs to ponder a career somewhere else, I think.
Yeah, I don't completely understand what's going on with the quarterback carousel. I don't know if they're just kind of spinning the wheel every week and that's who gets the start. Because if they're saying that Christian Ponder gives the team the best chance to win, then that's just a bold-faced lie. That is not true at all. I don't know why you pick up Josh Freeman if you're not going to play him, but you play him after he has like 3 days of practice and have him throw the ball over 50 times, and then you don't start him again. I don't understand that, but I am definitely in favor of them losing so we can get the top draft pick. Seattle didn't really help us out with that one. I thought Tampa Bay might actually get a win, so then we can tie them with one win. But, yeah, I don't know what happened there in Seattle, because I remember looking at the scoreboard and thought I was reading it wrong when it was 21-0 Tampa Bay in Seattle. I couldn't Ooh. Believe that, and I can't believe Cleveland beat Baltimore.
Yeah.
That comeback. I mean, you have Gary Kubiak going down in Houston, but his team was up, and you just kind of figure, like, all right, they just have to coast through this, win this one for coach, we're all good. And I don't know what happened, but they just lost all sight of what they were doing, and all of a sudden, that defense, I don't know if it had to do with Wade Phillips, you know, was now the in-control interim coach. Was he focusing too much on other things and got away from the defense? Because all of a sudden, that defense that was all over Andrew Luck couldn't stop him at all.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
And
I don't get it.
Case Keenum, where did he come from?
Yeah, quarterback from Houston.
I know.
He was a Houston guy. Yeah, nutty.
Undrafted, and, I mean, it looks like Schaub's job is pretty much done because this kid is just lighting it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say Schaub is out, absolutely, and, you know, and here they were, like you said, on the verge, and it seemed like they were going to win, and then they lose. I think the fans have had enough. On paper, the Texans certainly look good heading into the season. It's been anything but and that.
Your Eagles, Nick Foles, how about that? Seven touchdowns.
No, that was crazy. I mean, against Oakland on the road.
Yeah, maybe you don't need Michael Vick back, and maybe you actually do have a quarterback, because everyone has kind of been speculating that Chip Kelly wants his guy, what is it, Mariota from Oregon?
Yeah.
He's going to draft him. But if you have Foles that's able to do a lot of these things, I don't see them doing that.
I don't see that either. And Mariota is going to be heavily sought out. He was on the cover of SI this week. He's been killing it for the Ducks. But I don't know that. I agree. I don't know. It could be Nick Foles.
What an awful division, by the way.
Can the NFC East.
Can somebody in your division win a couple games?
How about the Cowboys again? And barely they, let's face it, I mean, Minnesota's terrible.
We're
Dallas
awful.
Barely beat them, though.
I know.
The better clock management and maybe even the point, the extra. If, who misses the extra point?
If the NFC East
extra point.
Wasn't playing Minnesota every week, you guys wouldn't have any wins. I mean, the Giants beat us, Cowboys beat us. I mean, come on, Redskins, they're probably going to beat us on Thursday.
Who would win?
The leader of your division was the Cowboys going into today, and they had a 4-4 record. They're 500 and leading the NFC East. And then the second place team was, I think, the Eagles with 3-5.
Yeah, crazy. I mean,
just, I don't know. I don't get it, but the NFC East, because you East Coasters rule all the media, like you in this show.
Talk
about the NFC East all the time, the big, big bad NFC East, all my New York, Philly teams, and they can't win any games.
Well, just so you know, this week for Nail the Score, what did we have? The Packers and Chicago. We made sure, we rigged the machine to make sure that it was not an NFC East team. And we'll see what happens there, because almost everybody picked the Packers. Almost everybody did. We had only three people that picked Chicago. And, you know, that's the Monday night game. It's always a rivalry, no matter who's up. Green Bay's been dominant at times, but they're not as dominant as they used to be. And Cutler, who knows? That's a crazy carousel there with what's going to happen with the quarterback situation there,
yeah,
I think, too.
Didn't look too bad, though. And I don't know. I think the Packers' defense is definitely, you know, a lot like Swiss cheese. So I think, and you have two very good receivers in Elshon Jeffrey, and then Brandon Marshall. And also Matt Forte, who is having a heck of a year. So I wouldn't be too excited about, you know, your Packers pick, I guess. I don't know what we had.
You're thinking, but Chicago, okay. So we'll see. That'd just be the perfect way to cap off my really crappy weekend in football. And, you know, we started the week, too, with Miami winning, beating Cincinnati, what, in overtime, right? Wasn't that an overtime game, 22-20?
I believe it was, yeah.
Yeah. And then St. Louis, too, looked like they were going to be able to come out and pull it off over Tennessee, and they didn't in the end.
Yeah, a lot of leads getting blown.
Yes, what's really crazy is a lot of leads, it's exactly what you said, that are blown. A lot of underdog teams, not necessarily, maybe to keep it close, but not necessarily expected to win. I mean, I don't think that even in New York, I would have thought that Drew Brees wouldn't have pulled out a win with New Orleans, and the Jets beat New Orleans. You know, Geno Smith, the quarterback there, who's thrown 13 interceptions, looks erratic, but he has a fourth wins at the very final moments in four games, even an overtime win. It's crazy. And then this squeaker.
Yeah, and I feel the worst right now for Bullock, the kicker in Houston, because he missed three kicks.
Oh.
And any one of those, you know, they're probably going to win the game
difference.
If he hits any of them.
Yeah, he might be packing his bag soon, I would say. You're a kicker and you miss that many. They're looking to probably cut you loose. Hey, don't forget we have Nailed the Score each and every week. It's our Wednesday into Thursday show, third hour, so really Thursday a.m. Be there. It's really a lot of fun. We'll see if anyone nails the score this time around.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.